I repeat again what Allah says in the Holy Book. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum. Oh, you who believe, your own selves obligate you. This message cannot be taught to black people or to the black African Americans enough. This is what we need to teach more and more to the people of our color, who are manipulated in somewhat, in a certain degree, that is. They are manipulated by, again, influences. Influences, currents of air that just sweep us up into new excitement and make us think that they're supposed to take care of me. They got to take care of me. So I'm going down there and see what they did with my money. And you didn't work at all this week. You didn't hit a lick. You haven't hit a lick. And you helped about it, too. You helped it. You can do something. You haven't tried to get one sandwich into your mouth this week. And you're running around talking about telling people, oh, I'm going down there to get my money, man. They got to take care of me. And you go out in the street and you see people that lost their arm. Some people lost both their legs. And they are out there selling things that they... craft that they did, handicraft work, something they did with their one limb or with the hands that they had, limb they had left. People out there selling something that they got donated to them from a factory, some pencils or something. They out there selling something. Some of them went and got something cheap, and they out there selling something, trying to make a living. And they are really handicapped people, limb missing, vital limb missing. Some can't see, they're blind. And you healthy-bodied men, young men, that ought to be in the army somewhere, fighting the disbelievers, fighting the oppressors of humanity. You ought to be in the army somewhere with a sergeant boot up your butt, excuse my expression, and you walking around here with your healthy self, just as lazy as you can be. Talking about, hey, they have to give me something. They have to take care of me. Where's my money? And haven't hit a lick in the whole week. That's a shame. There's no place for that kind of mind in this religion. Your own selves obligate you. The prophet said that in the judgment, you're going to be questioned. And the members of your own body will have a right against you in the court. The members of your own individual body, your hand, has a right against you in the court of God if you have misused that hand or have neglected to use that hand as God intended for that hand to be used. God gave you two hands to work, and you haven't worked with them. He gave you two feet, two legs to carry your body, and you did not go to the places you were supposed to go. You did not use the members of your body for the work that God assigned. All right, you have to answer for that. You have a brain. You have speech. Have you used it as God intended for you to use it? You have to answer for that. Have you abused it? Did you use this hand to steal? Did you use this hand to shoot narcotics into the vein of helpless people, misled people? Did you use these legs to go into the prostitute den? Did you use this brain to manipulate the mind of ignorant women and put them on the street to sell their bodies? Your own self obligates you. And in the judgment, Allah and His prophet says to us, in the judgment, every member of your body will have a right against you if you have neglected or misused it. How clearer can the message get? Can anyone give you a clearer message than that? What Allah has given us in the Quran and what Prophet Muhammad has taught us is crystal idea.
All we have to do is hear and obey. As Allah tells us in the Quran, the believers, what they say, we hear and we obey.
Well, nobody dictating to me, I ain't going to hear and obey. If I want to, I'll obey. If I don't, I ain't going to obey.
Well, you are not a believer. We don't think that we have the intelligence to make improvements on the Quran. Did you hear that? Okay, I'm going to say it again. We don't think we have the sense to make improvements on this Quran. We don't believe that that's man's doing. We believe that that's the Allah's doing, who made the sun, the moon, star, who created weather, who created us, matter, and everything. We don't believe that that's his son's doing. We believe that that's his doing. We don't believe he has a son. No son, no daughters, no family. All creatures are his dependents. Is that clear? So I repeat, we don't believe, we who have sense, we who read that book and understand it and have sense, we respect it as the word of God, Allah's word. We know we cannot make improvements on what has been revealed. So our disposition is to hear and obey. It's to hear and obey. That's our position. I believe we are continuing in the thought that was proposed or presented to us by the speaker who came before me. I was in the office back there, but I heard him over the speaker. And he said, we need something. We need a knowledge that won't keep changing things for us. We need a knowledge with definite, lasting goals established. Established definite and lasting goals for us. We need a sense of permanence. A sense of permanence. And that's the religion. That's the religion. We have to believe in what? This, and also in Al-Akhir. We believe in this life and also in Al-Akhir, which means the present and the future. We believe in the present life, but we also believe in the future life, Al-Akhir. Al-Awwal, the present, wal-Akhir, and the future life. Therefore, a Muslim is obligated by his principle to believe in the future life. He's obligated to work for the future life. And what does God say? I'm talking to you as an individual. This is not to the imam. This is left on you. What does God say? God say of the future life of Al-Akhir that it is the great life. It is the big life. It is the abundance. It is the permanent life. The permanent life. It's the permanent life. This is what you go after impulsively. It is the fleeting life. It's escaping you all the time. It won't be the same next year as it is today. It's changing. It's escaping you all the time. Listen now, we don't want to rush over this. We should say what God say, and then let's take a second to think on it. Allah says, of this present life, the urge to eat, to have fun, that's the pleasant life. Worrying about the material needs, that's the present life. Now, Allah says of this present life, he said, it is qalil. Qalil means small. It's minute. It's minute. But the al-akhir, the future life, it's the big life. It's the permanent life. It's the lasting life. It is the real life. God says, if you only knew, it is life real. This here is imaginary. This here is elusive. This here deludes us. And eludes us. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But that of the future is real. It's permanent. It's lasting. It's great. It's big. It's rich. Now, here is the key. Don't make the mistake of not understanding that it starts right here in this world. Don't make the mistake that you have to die physically and go to the grave before that starts. It starts right here in this world, in this life. And the Muslim is obligated to work for that every day. So, Muslim, don't let the present world deceive you and tie up all of your energy, and you don't work for the future world, for the future life. No. I think that's plain enough. All right. Your own self obligates you. I read a little book that a foreign country, Muslim country, prepared for the youngsters, the elementary school, a very early grade, like first, second, third grade. And it was teaching them to respect themselves, their parents, the home environment, and whatever is trusted to them. For the little girl, her doll, her play doll, whatever furniture she has, the room that her things occupy, their toys, their books, everything. It was teaching them to respect those things and to treat them with respect, to remember that those things have value. They have value. If mama sees a little child in danger, mama will put herself in danger if she thinks that's what she has to do to take that little child out of danger. So that should tell that little child that that child has value. That child has great value, especially to mama. But in a civilized society, that child has great value to all civilized people. Yes. The child has to be taught the value of the human person, of the individual, especially the child, to the parent. The great future that's there waiting for that child. And how even society is depending upon the young to grow up mentally, physically, and spiritually to be able to take this burden that we're carrying, because we're getting older. Our time is limited. We ain't going to be able to carry this long. Our time is limited. Another 10, 20 years, Imam Razuddin Muhammad may be retired. Right? Yes. I'm 50 almost now. Time is limited. Many of us, we know this. We feel that urge on us that the time is limited. We can only carry this for so long. So we have to talk to the young. Let them know how valuable they are. How valuable they are to mama. How valuable they are to civilized society. That's teaching them the autonomy of the individual. That's teaching them their obligation that is upon them as persons or individuals. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, that knowledge that will give us lasting goals, permanent goals, a sense of direction, a sense of permanent direction, not just temporary direction, but permanent direction. That knowledge is in the book of religious people. And for the Muslim, that knowledge is the Quran. The Quran. Briefly, some of the qualities or attributes of this book is that it is pure, pure, P-U-R-E. No inferior thing, no inferior matter, no inferior idea in it. No man's judgment is in it. No human judgment is in it. It's divine judgment. Let me repeat that, because somebody grunted. No human judgment is in it. Only Allah, divine judgment. All right? Every word of it, every statement in it, every judgment in it is Allah's. It's divine. Human being could not have achieved that. No human being can achieve it. Impossible for a human being. You hear that? Do I have to repeat it? I think I should. The teachings in this book, the holy book of the Muslim, is impossible for a human being. No human being can give the world that. You might say, well, didn't it come from a human being? Didn't it come from Prophet Muhammad? But Prophet Muhammad didn't say it was from him. He said it's from Allah, the high, most high God, creator of everything. That's what Muhammad said. And we believe Muhammad. Peace be on him. All right. Another of its attributes is that it is a perfect book. It must be perfect if you understand that the book is from God. All of these qualities, we need not discuss them. It's self-explanatory now. Is that not correct? If it's from Allah and you understand what God is, if it's from Him, then all of these qualities are self-explanatory. It's pure, it's perfect, it's complete. In other words, He didn't leave nothing undone. Allah didn't leave something for me to do or for you to do. It's complete, finished. Now, you know, the attitude that the world gives us make us feel very uncomfortable with this. Because the world gives you an attitude to make you distrust everything. The world wants you to distrust everything. Now, I don't want to blame this on certain people in religion or certain religions or certain individuals or the culture. No. We want to make it clear that this comes mainly from academia. This is mainly the work of people in academia who claim to be our educators. When we send our innocent young teenage daughter, our innocent young teenage son, to these city colleges, state colleges, universities, and many of the private colleges and universities, when we send them there, the hungry vampire with his fangs just waiting on them to suck all of their human blood out of their veins and make them a cold, dead monster to go around preying on other innocent people. And the first thing they want to do is take out of them the trust of God. They want to take out of them trust in God. Take out of them love and trust in parents. They don't want them loving and trusting their parents. So the first thing they want to do is knock the family foundation out from under them and knock the faith, the foundation of faith down and make them a open-minded, gullible nut to accept whatever they say as authority in the intellectual world. Now, isn't that a fact? Can't you see why this place is more important than any other place you can go to? And I'm not worried about the people who went to the churches today. I'm not worried about the people who went to the synagogue today. I'm not worried about the people who even went to the Buddhist temple today. Because at least they have better there than the world of academia has. I'm worried about you because you came here. Obviously, you're not Buddhist. You're not Jew. Or either you're shopping, you're not satisfied. So my concern is for you. All right. So let us continue now. The book is a universal message, is a universal book. Its knowledge is universal in its scope. In other words, it's not knowledge just for white or for black. It's knowledge for all people. Its concern is all people. And its knowledge is not just for America or for Arabia. Its knowledge is for the whole world. Universal. Universal. Also, its knowledge is not just for a certain age. Its knowledge was not for the age in which it was revealed. Its knowledge is for all ages. It never gets old. Oh, that's impossible. It's impossible for you. Don't forget what we said. This came from the one who put the world out here, who created it and established it. The universe, the galaxies of many stars. This is from that one. If we are believers, we are believers. If we are not, the first one to know it is ourselves. We should be told first, hey, you're not a believer, man. Let us come now from the book as a lasting book, a permanent book, a book serving the universal needs of man for all ages. Let us now come to the prophethood. The prophethood is the prophethood of men, human beings with human limitations, like we have, who couldn't stay around in person to tell us about their message. But God promised that their work would not be in vain, and that the righteous would rise up with them and behind them to keep their word in the world. And it's here. Not only the Quran, but also the life of Prophet Muhammad is here for us. So now let us look at the prophethood. Prophet Muhammad was not a renegade. He was not a self-styled man. Prophet Muhammad came in the long line of the prophets as the last of them, as the one entrusted with the job, responsibility of giving the message in its universal concept, a universal context, whereas others gave it in different aspects of it, different features of it, different aspects of that message, as the need was created in the history of man. But at some point, there should be a man to give the universal message, because at some point, society grows into its universal dimension.